Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank Cashfly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. Cashfly.
This is Jumping Monkeys, episode 30, for January 19th, 2008. Macworld Monkeys.
Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
Welcome to Jumping Monkeys. I am Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
And guess what? We're out of the cave. We're actually somewhere.
Yes, out with real people.
Grown-ups.
Yes, real grown-ups. People
real
taller
grown-ups.
Than my waist. It's
yes,
exciting.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Some people taller than my waist.
Some people. Most people.
We're at Macworld Expo in San Francisco. This is part of the podcast studio pavilion that Alex Lindsay and the Pixel Course set up. And all week long, we've been doing some of our Twitch shows here. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of get Jumping Monkeys out on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been fun. I haven't been to a conference in a long time. And every time
Did you get a chance to look around a little bit?
I did, yeah. I felt sort of like an alien just walking around looking, my mouth agape.
You know, it's neat. You do see some kids around here. I saw Robert Scoble with his son Patrick, mm-hmm. who's a seventh grader or no, maybe he's an eighth grader now.
Uh-huh.
And you see, I mean, not little kids.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you do see little
yeah.
kids.
Yeah. Well, I did see Merlin from afar and Madeline.
Did he have his baby?
Yep.
No.
They're somewhere around here.
Oh, wow.
I saw them from afar. I ran chasing after them, but
you can always tell it's Eleanor because she wears rabbit ears on her hats. Did she have a rabbit ear?
No. But, yeah, no, there's some little babies. I've seen some strollers.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Abby tomorrow, actually. She's in intercession right now, which means
right. They
have a little time off. She's doing ceramics.
Yes,
she said, all my pots are fired. So can I come to Macworld with you? And I said, yeah, it'll be like take your daughter to work day because I'm going to be working all day.
Yeah.
But we'll see what she thinks. She's never been to a trade show before.
Really?
No. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk to some people. We've got Jean-Paul Bonjour.
Yes.
He is from Apple. He's the pro apps guy, and
mm-hmm.
he has a couple of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And John
Skidgel
from
mm-hmm.
Google.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jean McDonald's going to join us from Smile on My Mac.
Yes, she is.
So
yeah.
It's going to be a little like a mini trade show.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking for some, everyone that had emailed me that I knew worked for Apple or was interested in Mac software, I tried to contact them and find out if they would be interested in coming, and I was glad that they said yes.
Good. We'll talk to them in just a little bit. Did you see the MacBook Air, the little thin MacBook?
I did, yeah.
Now, what do you think of that?
I think pretty much the same thing you said. It would break in my hands in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know how they could make it. I mean, it's aluminum.
Yeah.
I mean, you just could go like that. It would snap it.
Yeah. I'm sure they've made it better than that, but...
Well, what did they, I mean, what could they, it's so thin.
Yeah. It does look, it is very cool looking.
But you know, I was sitting on my laptop earlier. I don't know if I could really.
You what? Yeah, you were. Yeah. You would have broken it just
broken
before
it right
when you
then.
Put your chair on your
yeah.
laptop. Yeah,
and it's very expensive.
And what do you think about the movie rental service?
You know, I think it's funny because I've had something similar on my Xbox mm-hmm. Live for some time, and we rented a few. But I want to buy them if I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to rent them for some
yeah.
reason. And I hate the idea that you start watching it. And then, like Mission Impossible,
right,
in 24 hours,
yeah.
it's going to self-destruct.
Yeah.
We bought, Henry really wanted to see one of those bug movies, one of the animated bug movies. I can't remember which one.
B-movie?
Might have been B-movie. We bought it, and they had high def. So I thought, well, I'll buy it now, because it takes a few hours to download a high def movie.
Uh-huh.
So I bought it. And you only get 30 days to watch it. And we never watched it. And
yeah.
it was gone. And I felt like, boy, and now Xbox charges more. It's $8.99. So I think that's what it is for the high def. So
yeah.
Yeah, maybe for $4.99 or $5.99, I might not mind so much.
Yeah,
but I just don't see myself running that way. We have Netflix.
Right,
that works fine.
Yeah, well, I use a PC, as you know. I brought a Mac today because you told me not to bring my PC.
Bring a PC in
my
there.
Dad gave me his Mac to bring today because he said I would bring shame upon my family name if I brought my PC laptop.
Mac? It's not even yours. That
no,
you
it's not. It's not.
So
but I didn't bring my PC. But anyway, I was kind of excited about, you know, Netflix came out with their announcement of unlimited streaming for customers. They came out in advance of Apple's announcement. And I was really interested in that and went online. And, you know, it's the movies that they have are not that great.
That's too bad because that's something for a parent that would be great. If you could just fire up a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I need something now.
Right. And it's basically free if you're already getting Netflix.
Right.
I mean, it's unlimited. You can, you know. It's streaming, so you. But
to me, that's the one advantage of something like iTunes or Xbox is that you don't have to wait till Netflix mails you the disc. You don't have to go to the movie store. You can have it right now.
Right.
And for parents, sometimes that's now is urgent.
Yeah, but I found that it really is. It's no different than we don't get TV reception anymore, and that's basically what this Netflix thing is. It's
right.
It's a bunch of movies that would be on like AMC or like movies, and it's TV shows. Like you can get The Office, or that's great.
Can you get West Wing?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see West Wing.
I have to look and
probably
see.
But I mean, you know, everything. It's no new series that you're gonna get all this year. You know, all the
older stuff.
Like, you know, get Heroes and stuff like
that's
that.
On DVD now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's, you know, hopefully they'll increase the amount. But right now it's just 6,000 titles. So I don't know.
Do you notice that? I think since TiVo, and then since Netflix, I don't ever watch. I rarely watch a TV show when it's on currently.
Right.
So I'll see 24. I still haven't seen 24.
Yeah.
But I'm not in a hurry. I know I can always rent it, and I'll rent it. It'll be great. And in a way, that's a great way to watch a show.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait a week. There's no commercials.
Right.
24, you could watch the whole day.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually know someone who did that.
Did they throw up afterwards?
I don't know. But she has kids, and I was like, well, what were they doing? She was like, they were taking care of themselves.
I don't know.
I couldn't stop.
Kiefer. Yeah. So, in a way, I feel a little left out. I wonder sometimes if, you know, as we were growing up, there were national events. You know, I remember when Batman with Adam West came on TV, and everybody in the fourth grade was so excited.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to go home. This new show's going to be on. And there was this communal experience. You go in the next day. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it great? And I wonder if kids are going to have that experience.
Well, you said that your daughter had an office party, like for the premiere of
they
Office.
They do that for the Office.
I think it's a few shows, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know.
Should we bring our first guests on?
We should. And then afterwards we should get some questions from our audience. Do you think
I'd love to do that. Yeah, because I didn't bring the Grand Central mailbox with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Jean-Paul Bonjour.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be his real name?
He says it's his real name.
And John
Skidgel.
Skidgel.
Yes.
Are going to join us. John Skidgel's at Google. Jean-Paul Bonjour from Apple's Pro Apps.
Yes.
So, Megan, who are we talking to? Who are these people?
These people are Jean-Paul, who works on Pro Apps at Apple.
Right on, Jean-Paul.
Thank you.
And is also the dad of two children, a 9-year-old and a 1-year-old.
That's right.
Yep. And this is John Skidgel, who was a designer for Google.
I work at Google.
Yep. And is the father of a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Yes.
So,
you know, Jean-Paul, when you first started working on applications, you were probably single. You probably worked 15-hour days.
How did you know?
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're young, you could do that. How do you have kids and still develop applications? I mean, that's got to be hard.
It's about balance.
Yeah.
And it's about a van pool that tells you that you have to go home by a certain time.
That's good.
Yeah, no, that's the way I started disciplining myself and leaving at an appropriate time to get home and time to be home for the family.
And John, I'm sure it's the same for
it's
you,
the same thing, yeah. I mean, when I moved out here, I started at Netscape, and I was working 60, 70-hour weeks. It's horrible.
Were you at Urbana and then moved out with the gang, or did you...
Say that again?
Were you at NCSA in Urbana, or did you when you moved out here...
I was at Netscape a long time ago.
But you weren't in Illinois with Netscape.
Oh, no. I was working here in Mountain View.
Right, okay.
And so, I was, you know, working crazy long hours and all that. So,
Then you actually met a person.
Yeah, I met. Yeah.
That's the amazing
thing. Life, yeah.
How do you even meet somebody when you're working hours like that?
Yeah, online. Yeah, it is rare.
How did you meet your wife, John?
I was walking in the city, and I went to a coffee shop, and I saw this woman, and I went up to her, and I started talking to her. And the funny thing is that she started talking back to me, and it was the first time I had ever done anything like that.
That's
so
cool.
So it's very strange.
That's really neat.
And so it ended up kind of this awkward thing where it's like, well, I'd like to keep talking to you, but I have to go, and, well, here's my business card. And so, you know, she gave me hers. And
was she a techie?
No, she does skincare, and she also does copy editing.
I think it's good not to be married to a techie. I don't know. John Paul, tell me how you met your...
Yeah, no, I met my wife actually originally. I graduated from NYU Film School and came out to California.
You're a filmmaker.
Yeah. They're both filmmakers.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, actually, I know Alex Lindsay from a while back.
Oh, that's neat.
And so I came out here in 98, and I got my first apartment, and it was with my wife and with four other people, and we hated each other, just totally hated each other. I moved on 4 years later. I bumped into her much the same like John at a coffee shop, and then we knew each other. We had a relationship of some sort, and we went on. 3 years later, we're married.
Great.
Is she a techie?
She is not a techie. She works with children.
Yeah.
She's a preschool teacher.
My wife's not a techie either.
Yeah.
And are the two of you, is Marco the techie or are you?
I am the techier one, yeah.
That's what I thought.
He likes to think he is, but and
not
sometimes
really.
I let him believe
not
that.
Not really.
But.
Yeah.
So tell us about the filmmaking stuff that you guys do.
So when I came out from film school, I got a job with Apple working on Final Cut Pro when it first came out. And from that, I've always wanted to make movies. And so on the side, we've just been shooting shorts.
The two of you together?
Well, I met John through the, there was a list in San Francisco for the Final Cut Pro user group. And he posted to the list. I saw his website, and I thought he had a really great headshot, so I wanted to cast him in one of my shorts. So I asked him if he'd come out on a casting call, and he said, "Hell no!" I'm not going
to act.
An act, yeah. So, but he said he'd be willing to come out and participate, and so I had
That's
him. I found out he was a designer, and so I had him do a set design on a short that I did, and then I collaborated with him, and he produced a book about 24p video editing.
A book about 24p video editing.
So how do you know when you need to move from iMovie to Final Cut Pro?
Well, can I just tell you about a story about this? So
yes.
I'm a big fan of the SD-1 and the SD-5.
Me too. That's what I have.
I know.
The
ABC HD cameras are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They look fantastic. And so I went ahead and got the SD-5 and brought it home for my son to shoot some stuff, and he wanted to shoot some skateboard videos.
How old's your son?
He's 9.
Really? That's
yeah.
Cool.
And so he wanted to do some skateboard videos. So he has previous experience with iMovie before, iMovie went through an intensive rewrite, right? And we both opened up the application. He wanted me to help him edit, and he's like, "So how do I do this, Dad? You know Final Cut." And I had no clue. I was just lost.
Yeah.
So, but this is the cool thing is that, he shot maybe an hour's worth of video with the SD-5. He brought it into the new iMovie and cut 9 movies and posted them to YouTube that day with his friend.
That's neat.
And he's 9.
Yeah.
And his friend's 9.
That's really neat.
I helped him do open up the trim edit window on the very first cut, and then that was it. The rest he just did all
crazy.
By himself. So to answer your question, how do you transition from iMovie to Final Cut? I guess it's just a matter of where you are in your process of filmmaking. You know, if you want to move up and do more, and you want to do more compositing and have more interaction in the NLE experience, I guess that's
so maybe when you're 10, you should use Final Cut.
Yeah. 11, I think, is a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's been sort of about organizing the clips and the media. Over the Christmas break, my wife basically said, "John, I want you to capture all the home movies that you've taken and do something." And so, I basically spent 4 days just, capturing tape after tape, just, whole tapes, and then, making subclips and, creating bins and, adding lots of tags and, logging notes and things like that. And I just don't know how I would do something like that with iMovie, but, Final Cut, if you're really methodical and you really want to get organized, it's the tools there and you can do all that stuff. So.
You know what I've been doing with the SD-5, which is kind of nice, is actually Alex taught me this, is you shoot at 1080i, but you import at half resolution
at 960,
at 960 and then it's non-interlaced.
Yep.
And then iMovie has this really nice thing where you just drag all the clips and it automatically puts a half-second dissolve in between all the clips. And then I export that XML out to Final Cut, and then I would, or actually Final Cut Express, and then I work in Final
That's
Cut
nice.
Express with the rest of it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it kind of did the initial work. And now I could fine-tune it a little bit.
Yeah. That's cool.
So that worked pretty well. Yeah. That was a nice workflow.
Mm-hmm.
I like iMovie. I mean, it for quick stuff like your son's doing, it's
Randy
it's
did
really
a great,
great
job in rewriting that application.
Yeah. It's very different, though.
Yeah,
and you look
totally
at it and you go,
a new experience.
I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
And what it is you just realize, well, I don't have to do as much. It just, you know, it just kind of does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat.
So are there a lot of people with kids that you guys work with?
Google's a strange place. There's, you know, a tremendous amount of young people, you know, fresh out of school that are working, but there's a lot of parents there too, and the company is really supportive of people with, you know, of employees with kids.
That's something that's changed, because I'm sure when you first started with this, you know, 80-hour work week, nobody had kids.
No one did.
And it was kind of, if you said, I'm going home to make dinner, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
We got work to do here.
Yeah.
But that culture has changed at both Apple and Google, you find?
Definitely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And, yeah, definitely within pro apps at Apple, where most of us are getting a little bit older.
Right. We all have kids now.
I'm one of the first ones to have kids. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, my manager has two kids of his own. And the bring your child to work day is a really nice experience to have.
That's neat. I'm bringing my daughter here tomorrow. I don't know if this is work, but that'll be an interesting experience for her. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's 16. So.
Yeah, I've seen a few kids on the floor. Little kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask you each individually about how. Now your children, John, are pretty little, so you don't have to worry about them and technology yet.
Yeah.
But maybe John Paul will have some experience with. Well, your 9-year-old. How do you draw limits? What kinds of things is he allowed to do? What kinds of things does he not? Did you set him up with a computer early on?
Yeah, I did.
You did. He's very comfortable.
I mean, he's had an iMac in his room since he was 3.
Wow.
He started using it when he was about 6. And
so there was no pressure. It was just sitting there.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
But when he was 6, he started going onto Cartoon Network and stuff like that. And as he's matured, now it's Wookiepedia, not Wikipedia.
Wookiepedia.
Wookiepedia is, you know... We need to know about the entire Star Wars universe,
not just one or two episodes.
You know, and then when he's talking about, you know, episode 4, I get lost because episode 4 is one.
Yeah,
for
that's
me
actually episode. Yeah, exactly. It's very confusing.
But you know, Leopard has some really nice parental controls, so that's really
it does.
Cool
I was very impressed. Yeah,
to some degree. And then on the flip side is that when he's actually doing work, you know, sometimes the time limits are reached,
right.
And I may be at work, and then no one else.
I get that call all the time. Dad, can you lift the parental controls?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's something that I'm concerned about, but it's just an educational process with my relationship with him and helping him in that respect.
Did you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to teach you this, or he did it all on his own?
He's done everything on his own. I actually even emailed you guys because I was frustrated because I bought my wife a MacBook, and she had a brand new MacBook, and it was sitting there, and it was just sitting there. and Sebastian finally would pick it up, and he would use iMovie, and he would do things, and he would, you know, go on to do searches and all these sort of things, and especially with the new iMovie, you know, his machine's an old PPC machine, so it doesn't have support for the new iLife, so he would use my wife's machine.
I think he's inherited the MacBook Pro.
Basically. Sort of takes over the...
Give your wife the Air. I think she'll be much happier with that. That's a purse computer.
You know, it was a first. This Christmas, he asked for an iPod Touch.
Oh, interesting.
And that was a first. And
now, how about your younger child?
She, you know what? It's really great. Sylvie just, she should work in iPhone QA because she did the scratch test the other day. Where you lay the iPhone down on the floor and then you're trying to walk, so you push it as hard as you can.
And how did it survive?
Well, fortunately, it was the back, and I have a cover, so it scratched pretty nicely, but it was the back of the iPhone, so it was all right.
So, John, your kids are pretty little. You don't have to worry about this yet, but what are you thinking of ahead of time?
Well, I mean, we have some similar problems with TV. I mean, right now,
absolutely.
You know, our 3-year-old, you know, she wants to watch TV, and so, you know, we have to limit her access to that. We even have to, you know, we have a couple CD-ROMs, so she's like, oh, I want to watch the Dr. Seuss CD-ROM or this thing or that thing. And so, you know, I always try to present, you know, alternatives to her, like, hey, you want to go to the park? Would you like me to read you a couple of books? Would you like to do, you know, some drawing and painting or some kind of arts and crafts activity? So I try to provide lots of options, or, you know, I just tell her no. I just, you know, like, no, you've, you know, we did this yesterday, and, right. you know, I'd really like you to do something else.
We don't really distinguish the computer from the TV anymore. It's just screen time.
Yeah. It is screen time.
Screen time.
Yeah.
So it's all, because it's all kind of the same. Yeah. And we don't have cable, so they don't watch a TV. They're watching Apple TV, or they're watching iTunes, or they're watching YouTube.
PS3.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's screen time.
Yeah. I have found, though, that a lot of people who spend their whole day on computers are more reticent to let their kids get on computers.
Isn't that interesting?
Really early. Yeah. Like, of my friends who don't do anything with computers, they're like, I can't believe your kids don't use the computer yet. You know, they're four. Like, what are, you know, what are right. they going to do? And it's like, well, they'll have time.
They'll be spending a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's really nice to meet you both.
Yeah,
thank you very much for coming by. We appreciate it. Good work at Google, I'm sure. What do you do, design at Google? What do you do?
I'm an interface designer, and I work on some of the search products, and then I also work on some of the developer products.
It's going to get very busy very soon. There's going to be lots of designing to do, I think. He's not saying a word. He's very coy, very cagey.
And are you working on any other books?
Actually, I just published a book on Flash Video.
Oh, cool. So there's a lot to talk about there. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, John.
Cool.
And John Paul.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much
for
your good work on the pro products. We use them like crazy. Cool. Great.
Well, thank you. So nice to finally meet you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. And now it's time to smile.
Yes.
Smile on my Mac. Jean McDonald is here. She is with Smile on My Mac, which is a great little Macintosh application company.
Jean first emailed me because she has she started a magazine for preschoolers with her sister called Tessie and Tab Magazines.
That's right, the Tessie and Tab Reading Club.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, and they're really cute magazines.
How old are Tessie and Tab, your nieces?
Tessie and Tab, they are...
It's a rabbit and a chicken.
It is actually a kangaroo and a duck. But don't feel bad.
It looks like a rabbit and a chicken.
I worked on it for like a month before I knew that Tab was a kangaroo and not a dog. I was like, oh.
Yeah, because he's a little doggy. Well, that's the postman.
You have to see his tail.
Oh, yeah. There.
And you can't always see it. But yeah.
That's neat.
But they do things that like typical three-year-olds. We try to make it pretty realistic to the... Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we didn't even copy you. We have an issue called Spend, Save, and Share.
Which is very similar to
what you have
spend, save, give.
Save and give,
which
is, that's what share is give.
Right.
And so, yeah, we have these banks. We have actually a thing called the preschool money manager.
Oh, isn't that
neat?
And
it comes with a bank with three parts.
Yeah, like
so neat, Jean.
Yeah. Actually, we partnered with a company called Moonjar. They did the bank. But we give you chore charts and stuff.
So it's a little cardboard bank, and it's got three slots, one for spend, one for save, one for share. So if you give the child an allowance, they take a third and put
yeah,
it
right. Yeah, that's the
that
idea.
Is cool.
So it made it a lot more fun to give money this year
yeah.
for the kids, because it wasn't like they would just, you know, they had something to do with it,
right.
you know. And I gave them all ones so they could divide it up into the different
parts.
So
what prompted you to do this?
Well, we saw this bank, which we liked a lot. My sister, who's the CEO of the company, so I have two sisters. One's the CEO, serial entrepreneur type, who lives here in San Francisco. She also, like myself, we don't have kids. We have one sister who has all the kids. We have like a division of labor in our family. It works very nicely.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yep. Yeah. And so she's really very much on like financial, you know, fitness at an early age, you know, and she likes to educate kids about reading,
good.
But and then also money came up, and so we did this preschool money manager for the Christmas season, and it did really well, and kids really like it, and it's interesting. So parents, the idea is that you give your kids enough allowance that covers everything that kids ought to buy for themselves, like the candy or the
right.
videos or the games or
right.
whatever, so that they have to make the spending decisions, you know, that they don't, you don't just slip them a few dollars here or there.
See, that's what we do, and I
yeah.
know it's not good.
My parents, too. I mean, we need this preschool money manager for a lot of adults that I know.
I could learn a thing or two from this, yeah. No, because basically I'm the ATM machine, and I just peel off 20s.
Yeah.
And
well,
they don't learn anything from that. You're absolutely right.
I can give you the chore chart. I'm sure that would work really
well.
Oh,
I need the chore chart
yeah.
badly.
Actually, the chores for little kids are kind of easy.
That's fine. My kids may not be little, but they need easy. Behave and be kind is one of them.
Yeah.
And then you, each day
your
you have Saturdays.
Your kids are kind.
Did it?
Every time I see them downtown, they stop and are very polite.
Did it? Get dressed. Did it? Yeah. Jobs for
that,
pay.
Getting dressed is a chore.
It is. Take a bath. Put away toys. You know, I know my kids are 16 and 13, but actually all of this is...
It's relevant.
They haven't learned it yet.
So I think the magazines are really cool because I think kids really like to get things in the mail.
They love that.
And that, you know, that I know your sister encouraged me to tell her my kids' names because she said they like to see their own names. And
they like to see their own names in, you know, in print on the label. And we also do stuff online so that they can... do a few games that we did in Flash. When we first started, I did all the Flash games, which was like a nightmare because it comes out every other week.
That's a lot.
So I'm constantly struggling in Flash, and now I finally hired a Flash programmer. Finally got enough money where I could say, okay, I don't do that anymore. And so there's some fun stuff. There's a lot of stuff they can print out online, so coloring pages and stuff like that. But we try not to make it too much online. I mean, it's the idea is that kids have something in their hand to read.
Yeah, the physical thing is really
good. You know,
and
get excited about reading the way we get excited about reading. You know, that, and we don't want kids in front of the computer. And it's interesting because when we first started, people actually didn't understand we had a printed magazine. They're so used to everything going online first now because the cost barrier is so much lower.
Right, right.
But that wasn't the idea for Tessie and Tab. You know,
so this is ages 2 to 6.
Yes.
It comes every other week.
Twice a month.
Which is good because a monthly, they're going to forget.
Yeah. They forget, yeah.
I think that's really neat. Yeah. And how much does that cost to...
It's $48 for a year, so 24 issues. So it's really actually a pretty good,
it's a very good
deal. Plus, you get all the stuff that's online.
Right.
And we find, you know, it's a great gift because when it comes in the mail, it says you can actually put a little message... It says happy reading from like Aunt Jean, you know,
neat.
if I want to give that. So every twice a month you would be getting something with your name on it, you know. So if you have nieces and nephews or grandkids that you're not around all the time, it's kind of a nice way to show them that you're always in touch. You have something to talk to them on the phone about.
That's great.
We actually send emails to the parents and to the gift givers in advance of the magazine coming out,
so they know
what's coming.
Oh, that's great.
And they can be ready, or if you're not there, you know, you would know that Spend, Save, Share just came out, and you could, if you were on the phone, you know how hard it is to have a conversation with a 3-year-old on the phone. That's probably, you know, so you at least can say, hey, did you get your Tessie and Tab in the mail? And
right.
Ants are so special.
Yeah, so you have a site also, a blog.
Ants.
Is it The Favorite Ant or My Favorite?
TheFavoriteAnt.com.
I love ants.
And it's interesting because we get a lot of mail from people who aren't parents, but they're aunts or uncles.
It's an important job.
It is. Yeah, and it's crazy. There's like a whole book about ants. Have you heard of that?
I did. Yeah, I haven't gotten it yet, but yeah, somebody told me about it after I started the blog. I want to get it.
Because some cultures don't have ants. Like they don't, I mean, they don't have like a word for ant. It's not like a important person.
Really?
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah, some cultures don't. It's
but I think many cultures celebrate aunties in a way that ours does not.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and they use auntie as a term of you know, respect. And like I did a stint for 3 months in Ghana in West Africa. I was part of this program called Geek Corps where I taught web design in Africa.
Wow.
And I was like 40 and all the guys in my program, I was the only woman and that all the guys were like 25, you know, they're like programmers. And in our house, the people who worked in our house, they called me Auntie Jean.
Auntie Jean.
Everywhere. And so then the guys started calling me that. I'm like, you know, that's enough now.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what they call, you know, I'm definitely... And everywhere I went, people would say, who's taking care of your children?
That's interesting. Yeah.
What's your husband think of you coming
how could
to
you
Africa?
Be here? Yeah.
I'm like, So, yeah.
I know, even as kids get older, I mean, my teenagers, the aunts are very important because it's somebody who is not your mom, but a lot like your mom that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really special relationship.
It is. And I love being an aunt. And I mean, I don't have kids of my own. You know, I'm sure if I had them, you know, I'd have obviously a completely different perspective on it. But it's nice to be able to concentrate on them in a way that I'm sure I couldn't do if I had my own kids to worry about as well. And like the first time I did a CD compilation for my niece when she was like 6 and we were sitting around, I said, why don't we look in iTunes? Let's play some songs. Oh, you like that song? I'll put it in a playlist. And then I built her a whole playlist of her favorite songs, and then I burned it. I made this beautiful label for it, of course, and disc label from Smile on
My You're right. Mom has no time to do that.
Exactly.
Mom
my
is
mother,
not doing that. Uh-uh.
My sister, Peg, who has the kids, she said, well, that's what you get when you have a full-time aunt.
Who happens to work with a software company that makes software that does this. But
right, yeah. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about Smile on My Mac.
Well, that's, you know, we do sort of what we call creative productivity software, basically because we have five products and they're not in any one specific category.
Can I say Smile on My Mac saves my life every day because that's what we use for the email, yeah. Text Expander.
Text
I use
Expander,
for my email,
yes. Leah's one of our big
if
fans.
If it weren't
I
for Text
that.
Expander, you wouldn't, I mean, that's it. It'd be over. My life would be over. I have hundreds of abbreviations that I use almost all the time. And I now have an assistant who's handling a lot of my email. I gave her my dictionary of boilerplate, and I said, it's all here.
Yeah, you know, just take
just
that.
Just use this. And it's actually, she loves it. It's a really nice
tool. Anybody who uses Text Expander for more than 5 minutes then like can never go back to actually typing things out.
Right.
Like, I never type out the word smile on my Mac anymore.
No,
I just type S-O-M-M. There's no way.
And Jean knows because she'll be listening to the podcast, and all of a sudden she'll hear the Text Expander, whoop, and she knows I'm typing something.
Oh, yeah, or when Text Expander is misbehaving.
Well,
that
was the other
bad
thing. I complained, because I had added these great HTML shortcuts.
Which I wrote.
Which were great and very useful, but, and every once in a while, it still bites me because it starts with a dot, and then every once in a while, I'll type .com, and it thinks it's .co or something. I can't remember what it was, but it expands it.
It was, I hadn't thought that. I fixed it, but I was listening to this at the gym. You know, that's when I listen to my podcast, and I'm saying, oh, there's Text Expander. And then there's, it's driving me crazy.
Every time I type .com, I'm getting something else.
I like run home. It's Saturday.
She did.
I gotta fix that right now.
She fixed it.
So anyway,
thank you.
But we do stuff that people can use that's useful, but we try to make it fun. You know, smile is really, I mean, it's not just a word, you know, that we use lightly. We hope that our stuff makes people smile. And Disc Label is the one I use a lot with the kids because they love having these, like, customized CDs with their the music, but also, like, I let them pick out the pictures. And they pick out weird things, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I try to, not, you know, editorialize the whole process. And I say, what should we put on this? My niece says, I want My Little Pony on it. I'm like, that has nothing to do with My Little Pony. You know, my nephew, Spider-Man, you know. And, okay, so of course I got to go online, find something, you know.
Thank God for Google image search. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Of course, I immediately trashed the image off my computer as soon
my
as I printed
pony.
It. From, you know, so if Marvel Comics, if you're listening, I don't. I'm not mass-producing Spider-Man
Do they own
CDs.
My Little Pony, Marvel
no,
Comics?
No, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't know who owns My Little Pony, but I have
ashamed.
A bone to pick with them.
Yes, whoever it is should be ashamed of themselves.
Anyway, so it's great.
That.
I mean, I love it. You know, I think one of the most popular posts that I did on the blog was about how the iPhone is like the ultimate aunt tool, you know, because there's so many things I can entertain the kids with on the iPhone. You'd be surprised. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if you have kids. I mean, even the weather widget. You should see all the cities that are on my phone. Because they just go in there, they start typing in words till a city pops up, and they say, let's see what the weather is in
Azerbaijan. Yeah, right.
I'm like, okay, you know? So they like that. I have movies, of course. Movies of them, but also like episodes of Avatar, which is their favorite cartoon, which I love to happen to love as well. So, you know, stuff like that. But I'm trying to get stuff, let other people know like what worked for me that wasn't too excruciatingly painful to watch or listen to, avoid the whole Barney. And I mean, I'm actually really, I hate Dora the Explorer at this point, you know.
You get burned out on these things.
You do.
But they'll grow up, don't worry. What's your blog's URL?
It's thefavoriteant.com.
Thefavoriteant.com.
Good tips for parents, too.
Yeah.
Not just for aunts.
And Tessie
if they
and
have
Tab.
Time.
Yeah.
TessieandTab.com. Tessy and Tab.
Dot com. And smileonmymac.com.
And smileonmymac.com.
And we thank you so much.
Thank you
Jean.
So much.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Nice to finally meet you.
Jean McDonald from Smile on My Mac. Excellent. So let's, that was fun talking to Jean
it was,
and John.
Everyone had a name like Jean or John. And
was
that
your goal to only guess with the J's mm-hmm. in them?
Yeah.
Do we could actually bring some people up onto the stage if anybody wants to. I would like to ask them a question.
Okay.
For people who have kids, how you deal with the issues of screen time, of controlling what your kids are doing on the computer, on the TV. Does anybody have any good ideas? Nothing. Nobody has a good idea. Come on,
give them very much time.
Come on up here. Come on up here, young lady.
And what's this is?
You could talk into that mic right over there. See?
Oh, great. Excellent.
Yeah. What's your name?
Michael Sue.
Hi, Michael Sue. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So how old are your kids?
Well, my youngest is 18.
So you've gone through this
already.
Yeah. And are they all doing really well now? So we need to know this now.
Yes, of course.
To pre-qualify you.
Are any of them in prison?
Not right now.
Okay.
Not at the moment. So, but did you struggle with this? I mean...
Well, we actually didn't have television in the home.
I like that.
But when we did go to other people's homes, we were there watching at the same time.
Right.
So I think proximity is really, really important. And even as kids get a lot older, like 15, 16, 17, 18, it's not really great to have the computer in their room.
Now, we're doing a poll on our website. Actually, that's a great, perfect mm-hmm. timing. We're asking people, do you leave the computer in the bedroom?
Right. Or do you allow your kids to take the computer?
And you say no.
Yeah. Now that, you know, she's in college, I can't control that. Yeah.
I'm with you. I think, Michael Sue, you and I have very similar uh-huh. parenting because we don't have TV. I think that's a pernicious influence. Now, it's different now, though, because kids can watch YouTube. They can see a lot of this stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have it in a central spot, so
that's
they're
right.
not off watching it somewhere
yes.
else.
Yes. Yeah. The telephone should be central, and the TV or the computer
right.
should
now,
be central.
Now, did your kids have cell phones?
Yes.
How did you keep the telephone central? You took it away from them as they came in the door?
They weren't supposed to use it after 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's really good.
That's good.
You see, I think I could learn a few things.
Well, yes. My husband and I are both teachers.
Ah, that's
and
great.
I'm now a tech coordinator for a district.
So. Did you have computers in the house when the kids were
I'm
younger?
Sorry?
Did you have computers in the house when the kids were younger?
Always.
Always.
From the time they were 2.
And how did you get them interested in that? Did you sit them down and say, let's play with it, or did you let them do it on their own?
They pretty much did their own thing. They had software that was appropriate for them.
Right.
And they're both very computer savvy now.
I'm jealous. Yeah. I think because I do so much computer stuff, my kids are anti-computer.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Michael.
Thanks. Yeah,
thank you very much for coming up and talking to us. Yeah, I think, I pushed it on them too young.
Yeah.
And now, Henry had to do a book report the other day, and he had to do a kid's book. And, he was fine. He was cutting and pasting and writing and stuff. I said, but wait a minute, Henry. Look, there's this great program called Comic Life. And you could take those pictures and make a comic book. And I think I pushed him into it.
Yeah.
I think I did. I mean, we made a great comic book, and I put him in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was about the Wright brothers. Mm. And so he was the cynical guy who said, they'll never fly. They'll never go anywhere. And then I had this great little picture of him. And it was fun, and we did it together. But I just think that I don't see him going back and doing that again.
Mm.
I keep hoping he'll find something like that.
Yeah, the skateboarding videos.
He likes watching skateboarding videos or skateboarding. But he does. But yes, exactly like John Paul's son.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that with great envy.
Yeah,
my kids will never be computer wizards.
Do we have time for any questions? If anybody has
any other questions, comments, suggestions, they all look like they're either asleep or ready to go home. It's been a long day.
We got a question right there.
Come on up,
come
sir.
Up?
It's been a long day at Macworld Expo. Second day of the show, and it feels like it's day 57. Hi, what's your name?
Harley.
Hi, Harley. Nice to meet you.
I have 2 kids, 6 and 9, and of course, our family's real big into technology, and we have computers all over the house and everything. And I think a bigger concern, not only just screen time, is how to protect your kids.
Right.
And if y'all had some recommendations on how to... You know, parental controls.
Do you do anything now, Harley?
I do. What I do, I don't want to totally lock them down and out of it so they can't really do anything, because then you're always constantly fighting with opening things. What I really do is I I use an open DNS.
I was just going to suggest that.
Yeah, and then block all of the sites from there. And that's really done a really good job, and I don't really have to do anything. It's kind of self-monitoring. And
I just discovered that, and I've been very happy with that.
Yeah, I really like that, too.
That's a free service, opendns.com. And you have to be a member, but that's free. You just sign up. And then you could say, I want, you know, these computers to have parental controls. And they filter out all adult sites. And they do it automatically. It's transparent. And unless the kids are smart enough or able to go into the settings and change the DNS settings, there's nothing they can do about it because there's no software running on your computer. I do it at the router. So all the computers in the house don't have – none of them have DNS settings. They all use the router's DNS servers, and that's open DNS, so they're protected. And it really works great. And then if you have a computer like my laptop and I want to have access to those sites, I just put the DNS settings in that laptop so the house is protected still.
So that works well?
It does work well. Yeah. I mean, you know, I haven't had any problems with it. I guess the only problem is for my wife, I had to open up victoriasecrets.com.
There you go. Well, you are a lucky man, I must say.
But other than that, it works great.
How many kids do you have, Harley?
Two.
Two. Just two?
Yeah, 6 and 9.
All right, that's great. Well, it's really nice to meet you. Where are you from?
Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas.
And you came out here for Macworld?
Yep, just for Macworld.
You having fun?
Oh, yeah. It's my first time to San Francisco, and I've been doing all the sites and everything.
Oh, that's great.
So.
You're going to be exhausted when you go home.
Oh, already are, yeah.
Well, good. I hope you're having a good time. Right. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Harley.
We're out of time here. We've had a great time, and I want to thank Alex Lindsay for running the board for
Alex,
us.
Alex, also a geek dad. We wanted to talk to him, but... Yeah, he tells us we don't have time to talk to him.
He's wrapping us up. But we thank you for being here. Now, did you have an Audible pick you wanted to share with the world?
I don't.
You don't
I got
have
nothing.
An Audible pick. You got nothing? You came empty-handed with your father's
laptop.
With
my faux Mac.
Well, all I could say is we do want to thank Audible for sponsoring the show, as they always do, and I encourage you to visit audible.com/monkeys. If you go there, you can sign up and get a credit toward a free book. And they have 45,000 plus titles, all sorts of great stuff. If you've never listened to an audiobook, try this. This is a way to give it a shot. I was listening on the way, you know, it's funny, we used to commute together. Mm-hmm. I forgot what a long drive it is to San Francisco and drive back. But thank goodness for books, audiobooks from Audible, because if it weren't for that, I'd go crazy. But I was listening to my last episode of the Master and Commander series of the Aubrey Maturin series, and it's the last one. That book's going to be gone. I have some other great books. They're all on my iPhone. You could put them on CD. You could put them on almost any portable device, like the Kindle it works on. You could put it on your computer, too. Just a great way to get reading done during those times when you can listen, but you can't read, whether you're driving, you're working in the yard, or you're at the gym. I tell you, I love my audio books. You keep my Audible books coming now. Audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their support. The Jumping Monkeys Show. Megan, I thank you for making this trip.
Well, thanks for having me.
Was it like old times?
It was like old times.
Driving over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Remember that? Those are the good old days. And we thank everybody at Macworld for being such a great sports. We'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys.
Bye. Thank you.